Welcome into the Siouxland Sports Insider High School Football Podcast. We're talking week 7. This is a slate on for this week, and we got full slate of games here on calendar. We'll start off Lamar's versus Fort Dodge. Should be a good one, a team. Fort Dodge 3-3. Lamar's comes into the contest at 5-1. This game will be at Dodger Stadium there in Fort Dodge. Just like what I've seen so far this year out of Lamar's, Teagan Castle has done a really good job doing it through the air, 413 yards to the air, but 432 yards on the ground and 14 touchdowns. And then Bo Waddle was battling some injuries. I know they look to hopefully have him back. And this Lamar's team, you just got to keep fighting with the good competition up there in 4A football. So they're going to run into some really tough teams once the postseason goes. And the guys that they need to take care of, they need to do so. But it's kind of a battle test. Seems like a Fort Dodge team that wins one and then loses one. It looks like they have some harder games scheduled in between, some easier ones. Dallas Center Grimes and Dennison Schleswig in the middle of a Waterloo East, Storm Lake, and Mason City. So it should be a good contest. It's just when you go look at it, both teams have thrown almost identical amount of passes, 82 for Lamar's and 84 for Fort Dodge. Fort Dodge has thrown for more yards, about 300 more yards through the air. And then when you go on the ground, it seems like there's a little bit more rushing attempts for Lamar's, and they have carried the ball for over 300 more yards on the ground, 1,364 for the Bulldogs, and for the Fort Dodge Dodgers, just over 1,000 yards at 1,021. Both teams carry the ball extremely well, like I said before. 18 rushing touchdowns to 15, about a little over 5 yards per carry for both sides. Just when it goes to the passing, both teams just need to take care of the football in this one. Need to have a clean game. You go to the games that in the past that both teams have had, and Sioux City West was the last opponent for Lamar's, and they went out and handled business there, 56-7. Before that, a close win against Spencer, 14-7, and then their only loss on the season to MOC going back 3 weeks. It's a team that's not going to give up a ton of points. Give up 7, 7, and 18. The Boyden Hall game, they gave up 42, and then the second game of the season against North, they gave up 14. And you go to the other side, Fort Dodge plays some solid defense as well. Gave up 14, 15, 27 in their last 3 games. And the 27 one was kind of a little bit of a runaway game. They won 45-27. So as far as Lamar's just needing to take care of the football in this one, I think, if you have a healthy quarterback in Teagan, I think you kind of ride with the wave that he's going. If it's working more for him on the ground, keep the ball on the ground. If it's working more of a sit back in the pocket day for him, and they're kind of holding contain on the outside and up the middle, then you kind of live with the air attack. And obviously they're going to want to mix it up a little bit of their looks there on both sides, and it should be an interesting game. They played last year, and so far since the Go Bound stats go back, they've played the last 2 years. Fort Dodge won in 21, Lamar's won in 22, and the victor seems to score in the 30-40 range, and they hold their opponent to 2 touchdowns. So it's going to be important to who gets off to a really quick start offensively to kind of set the tempo, because both teams are going to want to run a sort of a different tempo. And then defensively, who can take the ball away from the opposition the most, who can play the field position game. It's going to be a good one. Usually the Fort Dodge teams in the past are heavy run teams. This team this year seems a little more balanced with 750 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards. So they can kind of hit you from both ways, whereas in years past it kind of just seemed like it was from the ground attack. So, I never want to look ahead to an opponent or anything, but with a 3-3 record, a lot of things are still on the table for Fort Dodge. So Lamar's definitely going to have to play this one with some confidence going into it. I think that loss in the MLC game kind of opened their eyes to, hey, we are able to lose a game if we don't secure these details up. And I know they've been doing it in practice the last couple weeks, and it's really shown on the scoreboard. They've fine-tuned a lot of things defensively and haven't let those little things that come away from a win to a loss, get away from them. And they'll be a really fun team, Lamar, as well, to watch come playoff time, because I think they're going to be, you know, battle-tested, and, you know, they're just really, really well-coached, I think, over there. They got a good good group of coaches and a good group of juniors and seniors leading that program. Now we head over to another game that's being played at Hesla Field, as Central Lyon, George Little Rock, still staying undefeated, takes on Western Christian, the Wolfpack, at a 5-1 record. Pretty interesting game. You know, Western Christian's only loss is to, you know, a surprisingly young but very, very good West Lyon team, 20-3, 2 weeks ago. And then they bounce back with a win against Sheldon. And so far on the year, surprise, surprise, Central Lyon, George Little Rock, has not lost a game yet. And they've done it really on the defensive side of the ball. They do put up video game-like numbers. But 12 points, 7 points, 14 points, 7 points, 7 points in their last five games. This defense does a really good job of keeping the opposition third and fourth and long to where they're not able to move the ball. And then on the offensive side, 15 yards through the air per pass attempt. They don't throw it a ton, but they're very efficient. And then on the ground, 9.6 yards on the ground. Just a team that, you know, kind of, it's going to pick your poison. They're very, very dangerous on the ground. With Reese, you know, throwing it and running it, you know, he's 45 of 58 for 681 yards through the air and 8 touchdowns. But then on the ground, he's also ran for 812 yards and 10 touchdowns. You also have Isaiah Johnson, who's a senior. Then we didn't even talk about Graham Eben yet. So this team is very, very loaded offensively. And then the big thing, like we talked about too, is how good they play defensive football. They know their assignments, and they execute on a very high level, and they're a really good team turning you over. On the year, you know, five fumble recoveries and 7 interceptions. They just know where to be instinctively for the football, and you limit more and more possessions for your opposition, and you average in the probably the 50s, the other team is going to want to play a shootout, but you're just not going to give them enough chances to get up there and score. And, you know, you're going to end in the win column every single time with that. So what Western Christian is going to have to do is, we're starting to get into the more football weather where it's, you know, around 50 degrees, 60 degrees for kickoff. I think they're going to have to rely heavily on the run. You know, it's a team that runs for a decent amount. They've thrown for double the amount of passes as Central Lyon has, but for this about the same amount of yards. So not so far for the deep plays, but the check downs and the 5 to 10 yards downfield, Western Christian methodically moves down the field, whereas it looks like Central Lyon really does the big play extremely well, gets on and off the field very quickly. You want to lead in time of possession, obviously, if you're Western Christian. That's one stat that Central Lyon could care less about, because if they score so quick, they just want their defense to get back out there and make a play so their offense can touch the ball for 3 or 4 plays and score another touchdown. But making sure the time possession is one for Western Christian is going to be huge in this one. And then, you know, it's a easy one to harp on, especially when the game starts to speed up for you, is the turnover battle. Western Christian is going to have to do a really good job of not turning the ball over, but then forcing you know, Vanderzee and Eben and all those guys on offense to be in an uncomfortable situation and get the ball turned over on their side to create more opportunities to come back in a game if they do happen to be down. It's going to be the biggest test, I think, for Central Lyon going in. You know, I thought Cherokee Washington was going to be a good opponent for them. They put them off to the side and won that game pretty handily. And so I think now you look at it, this Western Christian Wolfpack team also beat Cherokee Washington in a bit closer of a game, but all the guys that have played one another, that have played against Central Lyon and have played against Western Christian, both of those the teams have came out victorious, minus the one Western Christian loss to West Lyon. So a battle of two top teams should be a really good one. Western Christian hosts that game on Friday at 7:00. Should be a good one. We'll see if Central Lions stays undefeated and tries to repeat again. I think this has got to be 18 in a row, I think, now. For Central Lion, they just keep putting games together. They're doing a darn good job. Even with the guys that we have, we knew at the beginning of the year they had two real workhorses in Van Der Zee and Eben. But even some of the unsung heroes, the Johnsons, the Kafer Schmidts, just the rest of the teams that are juniors and seniors with Van Der Zee and Eben have done a really, really good job. And, you know, the culture there at Central Lion, it's super impactful. The town basically shuts down on a Friday night. And you can tell why, because they're really, really excited about their Lions. And as they should be, a little bit farther down the road for West Lion as well. I got two really good ball clubs up there playing football, and be excited for their matchup come on later in the year. Head over to the MOC Sioux Center game. This game will be at MOC, played up there in Orange City, and should be a good one. Last year, what a game we were treated with. 21-20 was the final score in the game last year. MOC comes off a nice win against Sergeant Bluff, 28-14, and Sioux Center still on the season with that one early loss to West Lion, 14-2. They've rattled off five straight wins, putting them at 5-1. They had a really nice win, kind of a running away win against a Boyden Hall team that has kind of been on a little bit on the up and up from last year. Good MOC and Sioux Center, two different styles of offense. MOC with Blake Albers is just, I mean, they throw it a ton. 140 passing attempts for Albers, and nearly 2 yards shy of 1,300 yards through the air, 14 touchdowns, and 88 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns on the ground. Now you go to Sioux Center side, and Brody Van Riggenmorter has 670 yards, about 50% completion percentage, and 670 yards, but it's what they do on the ground that is really impressive. They've ran for 1,300 yards on the ground to MOC's 700. So it's a heavy run team versus a heavy pass team, a team that likes to slow the game down and really kind of drag a game out, force turnovers as they have so far, Sioux Center has, and a team that kind of wants to light the scoreboard up. They're okay with playing a close game like they did against Lamar's, won 18-13, but they're also okay with kind of really opening one out. They had a close game against Carroll, 40-30. A lot of their games, minus maybe the Okoboji and the Central Lion game, have been really close games MOC's played in. So being able to win a game that's close is very important, especially getting into this stretch of the season, getting into to late regular season and in the early postseason. Winning games when you need a critical drive in the fourth quarter is very huge. And MOC's kind of battle tested to that. Coming out into the game, though, you know, it's going to be another one of, you know, last year both teams were kind of trying to figure out where they wanted to sit postseason spot. I think Sioux Center won that game and made it to the postseason, and MOC went home, if I remember right. So, you know, a little bit of redemption if you're MOC to try to come back and win that game and hand Sioux Center their second loss. And I think as far as district play, you would have the win head-to-head and have the same record. So it'd be very impactful for the Dutchmen to get a victory in this one. And, you know, it'd be a good one for their seniors to send them out. More than likely, these two teams will, if they both make the playoffs, will meet up again in the first or second round. So it'll be a very interesting game to keep your eye on, that one happening up in Orange City, 7 o'clock kick at the Northwestern College at Corver Field there. That seems some really good football this year for the Red Raiders. Final game will be down on off of Highway or Interstate 29 in Woodbine, where Rems and St. Mary's takes their undefeated streak to Woodbine to face the Tigers, a team that's made a really good playoff push last year. Did the Tigers of Woodbine this year? They've dropped two games so far, but definitely one of the better teams so far that Remsen's going to see. Handled the game against Arweva. really played a really good game against Newell Fonda, 151-18 in that one. Both teams have played Boyer Valley. Boyer Valley, just a stingy defensive team. With Remsen winning that one 12-7, and the Tigers of Woodbine winning 14-12. Kind of similar matches there. And then the rest of the story is kind of history for Remsen. They've done a good job of, you know, taking that senior class and letting them graduate, winning that state title, and then coming back. And as far as reloading with the junior class that they have, it's been seamless. You know, this team, I think, plays almost even better last year than this year defensively. Or plays better this year than last year defensively. You know, just looking at their point total of what they've given up, 6 points, 18 points, 7 points, 18 points, 0, and I believe 0 was the final of their other game as well. So, 2 touchdown at the max is what Remsen's been giving up. And you look at the Woodbine side, they're okay to get into a shootout. Lost the Newell Fonda game, but scored 46, gave up 54. One against Siouxland Christian, but gave up 38. One against Orweva, gave up 26. This is a team defensively that loves to throw the ball and get the ball downfield, but is a little bit susceptible on the defensive side to give up some points. So a team that's very balanced, like Remsen is, passed for 577 yards, ran for 1,000. And then you go to the other side, Woodbine's thrown for almost 1,500 yards. And then ran themselves for 671. They run for about the same yards per carry, but 25 passing touchdowns for Woodbine. The secondary is going to have to be on their toes against this Tigers team for Remsen St. Mary's. It's going to be a team that's they haven't seen so far been able to air it out on them. And this team's gonna spread the field with misdirection plays. You know, A-Man football's played that super up tempo style, and Woodbine brings that with their type of offense. They play 17 yards per passing completion attempt. With 25 touchdowns, they do have 8 interceptions. So if any time that you're able to be Remsen St. Mary and get your hand on a deflected ball or a ball that's kind of just floated up there, make sure that you're able to do so and kind of turn the game into your favor, and then just kind of play your style. I usually never say that a Remsen team wants to slow the game down, but if, you know, Woodbine comes out and is super aggressive and wants to just chuck the ball downfield, maybe you have to slow up the tempo a little bit. Looks like in the bound era, these teams have met up twice. The last game they played was in 2009, so quite some time ago, with Remsen winning by 128-27. And then the year prior, Woodbine won 13-6. So 2 close games with those two teams playing back-to-back. This one, I believe, will be close as well, but probably a little bit more high-scoring, probably in the 30-40 range for both teams if Woodbine's able to get things cooking offensively. But, you know, should be a good game down there in Woodbine. Make sure if you're close, it's going to be amazing football weather. Should be a great one. And, you know, this should be another good week of football in week 7 here. And we'd like to thank our sponsors again, Sioux City Ford Lincoln, Fairway Groceries, and CNOS for sponsoring this podcast for week 7 of high school football. We'll be back at you for week 8 coming up next week.